Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, my good buddy, really one of the premier sports writers in the country. I mean, I read him all the time. He gets me aggravated sometimes, and I always call him up and you know, tell him about it when he does. But great columnist, and that's Mike Vaccaro. Mike, how are you?
That's the best part, Joe. When you call me up aggravated, it's like you've never retired. It's like I can't.
Right.
Were you show? You know, it's great.
Yeah, I appreciate. Now, will you admit now that Joel Embiid is overrated? Can you say to me, first of all, we know he's a dirty player. Okay, all right, guy never wins anything. Okay, I told you he's always hurt. And what did he do? Game four against the Knicks that they won in Philadelphia, he scores 1 point. Game six, with his team facing elimination in the fourth quarter, he scores 2 points. I don't want to hear about Joel Embiid anymore. You know what I mean, Mike?
You don't want to hear him for the Knicks, and I understand that. I don't just want to hear about that anymore either. But, I mean, I'm not going to call him overrated, Joe. I mean, he's unstoppable. They were putting two and three guys on him.
I know.
The fact of the matter is that when you saw what he is, particularly in the first half of that game, you know, they were doubling him, and his teammates were making threes, so they were impossible to stop. That's part of the, you know, the Joel Embiid experience is, you know, he's usually pretty good out of those doubles, but his teammates got to make those shots. When anybody tries to cover him one on one, you know, good luck, good night. And look, Mitch Robinson did a great job on him, and so did Isaiah. Especially toward the end, you can tell when they were able to get the ball to him low, that was a deuce, and sometimes three because he gets every whistle. So I'll save that. I will say that.
Oh, he gets every. Even though he fouled out of game six, if he did foul, I was stunned. He did foul out of game six, Mike. Stunningly.
I think Scott Foster didn't see who it was until it was too late to make the call.
Yeah, that's probably true.
On number six.
Right. Right. I you know what, look, I mean, I was talking to a guy yesterday, a guy who lived in the area. He was telling me, somebody said that, you know, comparing Embiid to Hakeem Olajuwon, please, all right, please. Don't insult Hakeem Olajuwon, all right? I'm sorry. I don't know how you feel about that, but he's not even in the stratosphere of Hakeem Olajuwon.
I mean, in Hakeem, you're talking about one of the three or four best centers of all time. So, I mean, I don't think it's fair to make that comparison, but certainly in the context of the current game. And look, I mean, there's a lot about him that you know, could be better. I mean, he keeps himself in better shape, but I get it. He had a knee injury, but, you know, guys come back from knee injuries and don't look
like... But Mike, he disappears in the fourth quarters of the two biggest games they had. Where was he? He didn't do anything.
It's a fair point. I can't argue with you on that one.
You know, I mean, where was he? Tyrese Maxey won the game in game five. I mean, please. How many turnovers did he have in that game? Like 9, 10 turnovers. I know he had a triple double.
I noticed he was on the precipice of a quadruple double with about 4 minutes left in regulation.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he had a couple more turnovers. I think I think somebody just turned a blind eye because I think he definitely got a quadruple double that day.
Yeah, no, he was turning the ball. He was throwing the ball away. He was throwing the ball away all over the place in that game. But anyway, we're beyond. He's gone now. See you, Joel. Go ahead, take it. You know, but whatever.
Yeah, history is written by the winners. Let's write some history.
Let's talk about our team. Who? I want to say this, and I said this earlier about Brunson. Nobody knew that Jalen Brunson was going to turn into a combination of Clyde Frazier and Bernard King. I mean, because to me, that's pretty much what he is, Mike.
Yeah, the Bernard comparison is great. I mean, you and I, Joe, both, among the few old enough to remember, you know, that seven-game series against the Celtics and five games against the Pistons the preseason.
Yep.
Which was the great, which was the loudest I'd ever heard the Garden prior to LJ's four-point play, and it was just a great time to be able to root for a team, root for a player, because, you know, really Bernard was the only guy they had, and they were able to take the Celtics and won the championship a month later, you know, to seven games.
Yep.
Clyde was the definition of a New York point guard, so, I mean, it's a great comparison, it's a great mashup, and I wrote several times 2 years ago, the Knicks, this should be the Knicks' number one target. I mean, there are a lot of obvious reasons why it was probably going to me, but I say, you know, it was easy to say, yeah, the Knicks should acquire him. I'm not going to say that I was anywhere close to thinking that they were getting this kind of player, because it's an historic signing, you know. And you know, you talk about the great free agent signings of all time. I get it. LeBron was a free agent once, and so was Durant. But you know what Brunson has meant to the Knicks, what he's done for the Knicks, the way he's changed the fundamental way the Knicks are viewed, not only as a good team, but also as a destination team. You know, I think players want to come here because they want to play with him. And that says something when you consider how many shots he takes. The people still think he's an incredibly unselfish and team-oriented player, and he is.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so unique.
And he's so hard. He's such a hard-nosed guy. I mean, he gets the crap beat out of him all the time. He, you know, he's always on the floor. You know, probably doesn't get enough foul calls go his way. He did go to the line a lot in this series and certainly in Game 6. But, you and I have talked about this too. The job Leon Rose has done. Because nobody knew Brunson was this, like we just said. Nobody knew Josh Hart was what he is, or DiVincenzo, or Hartenstein, or Deuce McBride. Nobody knew these guys were what they are. You know, Mike?
Yeah, he had a couple of missteps with the Kemba and with Fournier. But I mean, honestly, those are the only two. I mean, and look, I mean, it's too bad that Bogdanović went out, because he was really helpful
for
them.
Yep. They miss Bogdanović.
They're going to miss him because they just don't have a body to put in his place.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, as a result, and Tibbs' circle of trust is so small, there was no pressure the last couple of games. I think that's going to have to change against the Pacers, just because the Pacers are going to play at a pace that requires a little bit of rest out of these guys. But, Leon's been tremendous. And it's not just the Brunson thing. You know, it's easy now to credit Jay Wright, but I think, you know, as much as we all love Jay Wright, as great as Jay Wright did at Villanova and recruiting these guys and getting them ready for the NBA, I mean, you know, what about Leon for acquiring them all? And what about Thibodeau for coaching them, you know, aptly and appropriately in the NBA? That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so easy to import, you know, college players and then somebody would try and draft all the UConn players this year and have at it. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's a credit to the players, and it's a credit to Thibodeau to be able to get these players who obviously were already pretty well coached, and you know, now they're, you know, NBA dynamos, and it's terrific to watch.
Yeah, no, it's really unbelievable. Talking to the great Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post. And how about the fact, and I'm sure you saw this poll of NBA players where Thibodeau turned out to be the guy, the coach that they would least like to play for. He's certainly the best coach since Van Gundy. He might be better than Van Gundy. I mean, we may have to go back to Pat Riley as far as Thibodeau is concerned. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I think what happened is that, you know, most players in the NBA have not played for Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
So I think whatever they know of Thibodeau is second and third hand stories. And look, I mean, is he easy to play for? No, he's not. Is he for everybody? No, he's not. I mean, you know, there have been plenty of guys who have come through New York and been recycled in and out because they just weren't a good fit. You know, it's a credit to Leon, again, and also a credit to the players that, you know, Leon identified the kind of players who would thrive under Thibodeau. I mean, you're talking about guys, you know, like OG and Hart and Brunson, on and on, Hartenstein. who swear by Tibbs because they look at basketball the same way he does. They look at it as something that, you know, you look and you come, you punch in, you bring your lunch pail, and you play hard for as long as they ask you to play. And that's exactly the kind of player who thrives under Tibbs. Now, is that a minority in the NBA? Maybe. I mean, I do think that, look, you know, it's not like it's just crazy role players who love playing for Tibbs. I mean, the fact is that the really good players who play for him swear by him also.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a credit to him. I think the issue with that kind of a poll is that most players haven't experienced playing for him, and so they just hear, you know, the stories about, you know, about crazy practices and, you know, these enormous playbooks, and I think that's probably what their first reaction is, and that's why they vote the way they do.
Yeah. He's been a tremendous coach.
I mean, Derrick Rose swears by him, and there was a brief shining moment when Derrick Rose was one of the two or three best players in the NBA, and he still swears by Tibbs, and, you know, that comes after the last year and a half where he basically got benched by Tibbs. So, you know, I think when you play for him, your perspective is a little different. If you have the inclination to want to thrive under him, and these are the kind of guys who do.
What do you think? Again, we're talking to Mike Vicaro, the Post. Where is Julius Randle now? Where do you think his future is with this basketball team now? Do you think he just comes back next year from the injury and they just slot him right in here, or do you think they try to do something with Randle?
Look, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to do something with him because he's coming off surgery, so he's at least got to come back for a bit.
Right.
Unless he demands a trade, which I don't think he's going to. Look, I mean, here's the thing, though. Here's what I keep going back to. And look, yes, I mean, look, the Knicks are playing great. They fit together. It's wonderful. But they're still not playing anywhere close to the way they were playing in January. When they were playing in January, specifically the back-to-back games in the Garden where they crushed the Nuggets and they crushed the Heat. And that's when the game that Julius got
hurt.
That's
the game he got hurt in, Randle, yeah. Right.
They were playing at a Celtics level night after night during that stretch. It was a small period.
Right,
there was only
like
15 games, but that was a time when they were playing as good as anybody in the NBA. That's what you have to remember. And look, the version we have now, you know, they've gotten to be able to play those. But think about Josh Hart now doing everything he does in 30 minutes and not 48. So he's not, you know, occasionally, you know, without any legs. I mean, think about what that, you know, think about the fact that Julius does average 25 and 10.
Right.
And think about the fact that, look, I mean, he's a guy, you know, that, and I get it. The other guy stepped up. Josh Hart hit a huge shot at the end of the game the other day. DiVincenzo has. But, you know, Randall's an all-star, and when he's your second option, you're in a pretty good spot. I do think the Knicks are going to try and make that work and see at least what they have. And look, I mean, if by, you know, November 25th next year, it looks like it's not fitting, it's not working, mm-hmm. you know, obviously Leon's free to revisit. That's not to say that he's not going to try and make a big score in the offseason. I do think that, you know, I hate to go back to this guy because you dislike him so much. I do think that until this series, I do believe that Embiid is still very much high on his wish list. I just don't know. Forgetting how you feel about him and how a lot of Knicks fans feel about him, I just don't think the Knicks themselves are going to be crazy playing with this guy, seeing what he's all about and seeing what he was doing, you know, in the playoffs, you know, when he was pretty clearly trying to get guys hurt.
Oh, he's the dirtiest player going. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And here's the other thing, too. You talk about bringing in another guy that's not Randle. And this is Brunson's team now. You know what I mean? This is Jalen Brunson's team. You can't bring in another guy that you're going to say, okay, well, now this guy's the superstar over Jalen Brunson. I mean, I don't see how you do that, Mike.
No, I don't think so either, man. I think what you need is a quality number two. And so, therefore, what you're doing is you need to measure and say, well, is this number two going to be a better number two than Julius, you know? I know another popular name we've heard a lot the last couple of years before this, you know, recent surge by the Knicks was Karl Anthony Towns, and
right.
You know, to me, he's a lesser version of Julius. So why would you do that? I mean, his numbers might say he's not, but I think that certainly
right.
in terms of the way that he approaches the game, I would prefer to have Julius. And I get it, and I'm starting to hear people too. Oh, Knicks are better off without Julius. I'm like, you can feel that way, and that's certainly you're right. But just be careful because, you know, there's still a guy who's reliant to give you 25 and 10 every night. You can't just dismiss that. And like I said, when he's there, everybody else is allowed to kind of take a lesser role and a stronger role in that lesser, you know, piece of the puzzle. And to me, the Knicks are a better team. But you know what? He's not anymore talking about now because he's not around. I mean, he was around. He was on the end of the bench in Game 6.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was in Philly the other night. Yeah.
And you can see how much his teammates love him. I mean, I think that, you know, he'll probably be around more now as the playoffs go on. And it's just, you know, it's when the Knicks do lose, assuming they lose at some point this spring, that's when I think we're going to really feel the impact of his absence. Right now, they've been able to kind of do it with, I don't want to say with smoke and mirrors, but they've been able to cover it I think they might be able to survive the Pacers that way. If they wind up with the Celtics, it's going to be a different story.
All right, well, let me ask you about the series now against Indiana. I mean, how do you feel? I mean,
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You feel the Knicks are going to win, right? I'm assuming that. I think they're going to win in five. What do you think here?
I'll be honest with you. On the drive home from Philly, where you have a lot of time to think, right? I kept saying, the Pacers are young, they're explosive. I mean, I can easily see them stealing one of the Garden, and when that happens, it changes the whole narrative of a series.
Better not be game one. They better not win game one, I'll tell you right now.
As you've pointed out many times to me here, Joe, it's Knicks have never come back when they've lost a game one at home. And look, I mean, so all of that's going through my mind, but here's the thing. I mean, after having watched the way the Knicks, won the Philly series, not just that they won, but how they won. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I need to see that a team can beat this team four times before I'm going to pick against them. So I'm going to pick the Knicks in seven. I do think it's going to be, a really hard-fought series. I don't think it's going to be kind of as weird as a Sixers series was, but I can definitely see the back-and-forth swings because, look, the Pacers are capable on any night of dropping 140 on you, even if you're playing good defense on them. But they're just as capable of allowing 150 because they play zero defense. So it's an interesting contrast in styles. I love Halliburton. I mean, the Halliburton-Brunson matchup is going to be great to watch. And then it's going to go down to secondary players, and tertiary players. And I pick the Knicks basically because they have the game seven at home. I think that this is why, look, this is why you play to the end of the season like they did. This is why you get the number two seed.
Yeah.
And here they are.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, talking to the great Mike Vaccaro. I think they're the only team. I hate the Celtics, especially with Porzingis. He's hurt, right? Porzingis, what's new? Porzingis is hurt. Anyway, he's always hurt. He couldn't wait to get out of New York either. Don't get me started on him. But I think the Knicks are the only team that in the East that can beat Boston. They're the only one. I don't know if they will, but if they get to that series, that now they're playing with house money if they get to the Celtics.
And look, they play with house money, and they played that game, late in the season where they went to Boston and thrashed them. And I get it; the Celtics didn't have.
Yeah, they kind of mailed that game in
the
Celtics.
They didn't have anything to play for, but they did play their starters for the first 2.5 quarters, and the Knicks were up 30.
Right.
And they did try a whole lot of things to try and slow Brunson down, you know, blitzing him and sending different guys at him, and he still scored 30. So I get it. You can't read too much into that game. But you know what? I think what it tells you is that the Knicks aren't afraid to go into Boston Garden and play well. And that's the thing with Boston Garden. You know what I mean? TD Garden.
Yeah, well, I mean, Boston Garden.
Yeah. And look, I mean, suddenly it's reversed, right? If that series happens and you're the Knicks, you're like, all I need to do is steal one of the first two. Just steal one.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you change the narrative. And I get it. The Heat did that. And, you know, then the Celtics, you know, rolled over the Heat. But the Heat were diminished. They didn't have two of their best players.
Yeah, that
wasn't going to happen.
No Jimmy Butler. Right? They had no chance in that series.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I would love. How great would it be, Joe, somehow, it's 3-2 next series, and you get game six of the Garden. And the sound, I know we're going way too far ahead of ourselves, but
wait.
You're talking about noise levels of the Garden, what it would be if you could actually knock out the Celtics in a game six. And, of course, then you're going to take me back to 1973 when the exact same scenario happened, and they made you wait a couple extra days before they won it back at the Boston Garden. But you know what? The great thing about this time of year, Joe, when your team is playing this well, is that you're allowed to dream. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But you're allowed to have these dreams and say, well, what if, how about if this happens? And, you know, why else do we do this? Why else do you care about sports
if
not to have these kind of conversations?
Yeah. And right now for me, to see the two teams at the Garden doing what they're doing, I mean, I'm, you know, I couldn't be more delirious. we had that 2 weeks ago, right? You had 4 days in a row at the Garden for the Knicks and the Rangers. They won all 4 games. It was unbelievable. And you're going to have this week. I mean, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's phenomenal, Mike. It doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't.
It really doesn't. Look, I mean, it's all you want to tell me. And gosh, the last time these two teams were in the second round together was 11 years ago.
Yep.
Then you got me. And I'm not even sure how far you got to go. You got to go to see it again before that.
Yeah.
And,
no, you probably got to. I think you got to go to 94. Really? Believe it or not.
You probably do.
No, later than that. Later than that. 97. Because 97 was the team with the Rangers with Messier and Gretzky were together.
Right.
And they wound up losing in the conference finals that year to Eric Lindros and the Flyers that year.
Right. And I hate to tell you, that's 27 years ago. So So twice in 27 years. I mean, I think we're due. And look, I mean, I know you feel this way. I mean, we both love football. You know, we both love baseball. I mean, I think baseball is New York is a great baseball town. But you know what? When the Knicks and the Rangers, you know, are going so well that even the Mets and Yankees fans among us are like, all right, we'll wait for a little bit before
we really just
dive into that because we have other things to occupy our attention. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And, you know, the worst part about being a sports city like this is that, you know, you have so much envy. You look sometimes the last couple of years to Boston, obviously, to Philly. I mean, hell, you look to Kansas City, who's had, like, you know, 5 different championships in the last, you know, decade. I mean,
wow.
I'm just saying, there's so much sports envy that goes on. And to be able to be now, you know, in the situation where you're able to legitimately think about, you know, playing into June and seeing what goes on from there and taking your chances. That's the best thing you can possibly do.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff right now. The only thing that's aggravating me right now, that I'm aggravated sports-wise right now, is these stupid uniforms that the Mets played wore last week. I mean, well, you know, who can I seriously? And it makes me crazy. Look, I hate the fact that the Knicks don't wear their white uniforms at home all the time. I mean, I gotta tell you please, for the playoffs, you should be wearing the white uniforms every home game. Okay, I don't care what you do on the road, but those should be worn. That bothers me, but it doesn't bother me as much. You know, the uniforms the Knicks wearing, you still know they're the Knicks. It doesn't bother me as much as this nonsense that the Mets had on last week. These city, what is that? Come on.
You mean you didn't like to pretend you were rooting for the Colorado Rockies? Right?
I mean, come. I mean, well, who thinks that's a good idea? What Met fan, and I'm sure there's somebody that will, but what Met fan is going out there and buying those freaking uniforms? Tell me who that is. Who is it?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem when you have these, like, one-shot deals where it's just, you know, it's like, then you move on. But, look, I mean, I'm like you. I'm a uniform traditionalist. I mean, I've never understood people who go nuts for the black Mets jersey. I mean,
yeah, but at least that's the Mets. You know what, though? But at least
it
says Mets on it. You know what I mean? We know
it.
It's the Mets.
I get it. I mean, you and I both go back to a time when none of the Rangers or Knicks games were on Channel 9 when they were home.
Yep.
So all we ever saw was the Knicks wearing blue and the Rangers wearing blue in the days when you wore blue on the road.
Right.
And
right.
So it was always a treat. Like, once in a while, you get a Channel 7 game on a Sunday.
Right.
And
right.
You see the Knicks wearing white. I mean, that was incredible.
Yep.
And, you know, so I always have that in my mind. And you show up at the Garden and they're wearing blue. It's like, that's not fair. That's like,
yeah. Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, I don't want to. Mike, I don't want to get into this. There's so many things that bother me about today's NBA. So I don't want to get into all of that. Okay,
sure.
That's obviously one of them. Another one is the coaches. Can they wear suits? These guys. I mean, instead of wearing pajamas, I got to see Tom Thibodeau wearing pajamas on the sideline. You know what I mean? But
my good friend Tom Pecora, who's the coach at Quinnipiac now, he used to coach
right.
at Fordham.
Yeah,
he's one of the few guys in college, along with like Patino and a few other
yep.
guys.
Yep.
Danny Hurley, who wear grown-up clothes. And yeah. he gave me a great line a few weeks ago. He said, you know what? If you pay me like a gym teacher, I'll dress like a gym teacher. If you pay me better than that, I'm going to dress better than that. And so as a result, he dresses better than the gym teacher. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, that makes me absolutely crazy. Pat Riley's rolling over. You know, even Spoelstra's wearing this dumb stuff that he wears. But whatever. Yeah. Mike, it is always a pleasure. You know, nothing but praise. I appreciate it. And keep doing a great job, because you do. You know,
you too, Joe. I mean, it's great to listen to your show when you got not only yourself happy, but all your callers are just delighted. And it's let's be honest, it's more fun on those days than when you got guys griping about this guy and griping about that guy. I mean, this is the fun time to be doing what we do, and you do it well, so well. And you know, your listeners, you know, God bless them, because they put up with a lot of junk through the year, so they should enjoy this as much as you do.
I appreciate it. And by the way, don't forget, Game 5, 1970 Finals, the greatest Knick game ever. Just keep that in mind. Not even, to me, it's not even debatable, all right?
You made my column last week because of that game, Joe.
I saw that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But that was the game, Mike. That was the game.
Yep.
I know you're only 3 years old or whatever you were, but, you know, that was the game.
I actually went and looked for a bootleg copy of that game. There was only highlights available, but I did watch it after you watched them after you schooled me. So
yeah, I'm not trying to school. The one negative about that game, though, is that Willis was never the same player after that. So that's the one downside of it. But nevertheless,
yep.
Mike, great talking to you. God bless. Look forward to reading the column tomorrow. All right.
It was great, Joe. Good talking to you.
All right, baby.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.